why does there seem to be such an outcry about the erosion of our privacy? Is it because we believe that eventually this kind of technology could get in the hands of unscrupulous politicians and unscrupulous leaders and people? Or do people really just want to be kept quiet and they want anybody to bother them?
I think both of those points are exactly correct. To take the second one first, I think people tend to have a sense that there is a certain amount of space of privacy that should be theirs and should be inalienable and something that they can depend on, even if it's not specifically written into the Constitution, for example. Your first point is a particularly interesting one, especially in the post-911 world, which is that even if you have absolute, total, 100% faith in the current administration and current politicians and Congress and all those sorts of things, not to abuse information that could be privacy invasive, that administration is going to be gone one day. And we're going to be dealing with future politicians. And the infrastructures and the kinds of mechanisms that we set in place now, whether they're injected under the skin or in your underwear or wherever,
right,
they're going to be around for a long, long time, and we're going to have to live with them. So we have to be thinking not only about can we trust people today, it's can we trust people tomorrow.
300 years ago, a fellow by the name of Benjamin Franklin said, "Those who would give up essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty or security." And I can't think of a more appropriate quotation for what's happening to all of us right now.
I think Ben Franklin would probably be absolutely horrified to see what has been going on in the years since then in terms of, the technology is obviously different, but just the fundamental change in thinking that would allow some of these things to come into play.
Now, is this going to become a worldwide situation? We're not just talking about the United States making this changeover. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, in Europe, they're pushing real hard to get these devices into the euro. They want every piece of currency to have these identification chips in them, which has fascinating implications. It means every time you walk by a scanner, it could total up how much money is in your pocket. Of course, a criminal who had access to the right reading equipment would be able to do the same thing. It's really amazing what criminals could do with this technology to subvert it, by the way.
Heck, I'd walk by one and the guy would say, "Hey, I thought he was doing better than that." But you're right. I mean, as a matter of fact, a store may be able to do that and say, "My, that guy's got a lot of money on him. I'm going to go out there and get him into my store." I mean, who knows what they'll do?
Well, the people who are behind this technology, the folks like at the Auto ID Center, which is the research wing of this that operates out of MIT, and they do very fine technical work. There's no denying that. They tend to take the view, if people don't want this, there'll be pressure to be able to disable the chips when you leave what they call the point of sale, right? The store, you'll be able to somehow turn it off. But what happens in reality is people don't bother. They don't understand the risk. They don't know there's a problem. They're not going to turn it off, and everyone's going to be running around with every product in their house and on their body scannable remotely to determine what it is. And the Auto ID folks have had a real problem in the last few days because due to a misconfiguration on their website, a whole slew of documents that were marked confidential escaped and got sent all over the internet, and they were full of statements that could at least be considered to be somewhat disingenuous. I mean, they talked about neutralizing the opposition who were opposed to these things. They were talking about giving it a nice innocuous name like green tags that would look real friendly, to try to co-opt some organizations and some politicians over to their side so that they could convince people that the benefits are real, but the concerns are all overblown emotionalism. It probably would have been better for them if that hadn't become widely known, those papers. But it kind of shows the kind of thinking that goes into this sort of thing.
Let's assume for a moment that you are a sinister head of government, okay? What would these technologies allow you to do if you abuse them?
Well, let's think about what happens when you have pervasive surveillance. That's really what this is about. Not just things like RFID, things like DARPA's new combat zones at sea, which is a project to tie together the information from cameras everywhere. And of course, there's lots of cameras. All these kinds of little individual surveillance mechanisms that by themselves, taken as single entities, don't seem to be too dangerous. If you come up with mechanisms to tie them together, what you have done, in effect, is brand every citizen. You have, at that point, the ability to track where people go, what they wear, what they buy. There's a saying that's popular in law enforcement that there's no expectation of privacy when you're in public places.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that a lot when these kinds of arguments come up. The thing is that technology makes that argument completely crazy, because if you have the ability to track where everybody goes when they leave their home from point to point, it's just as if you were being followed around by a creepy little guy in a raincoat carrying a clipboard who kind of scribbled every time you bought something, everywhere you looked, everywhere you went, and then turned it into the government. Now, I think most of us would probably react badly to that guy following us around. But in essence, that's what this technology does. It removes the need to have an individual secret policeman or something, if you want to take the old Cold War analogy, following everybody, and instead you replace it with computers and racks somewhere in Virginia, or in the basement of a giant conglomerate, which can even be worse in some situations. So you take this all in total, and it can get pretty scary.
Well, how would they abuse it, though, Lauren? Here's my question. Yep. I mean, so my family goes out, and all of a sudden the marketeers and the company finds out that they bought this kind of food, or they bought these kinds of clothes, or that we're going out to this theater tonight because it tracked the card that was used to buy the tickets. Mm-hmm. And they put all that in a database. With information like that, is anybody really going to use it against me?
I don't know. That depends on how pure you live your life, I guess, in terms of the current view of purity. But to take a more immediate kind of danger that's in this, you know, because let's just start from the assumption we don't have to worry about the government, right? Let's use that as a working
Sure.
assumption right now. We can argue the validity of it later. But let's look at it from a commercial standpoint. How would you feel, for example, if someone in your family was buying a particular heart medicine, or someone in your family had AIDS and was getting drugs for that,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly discovered that they were being bombarded with, you know, advertising for other drugs, people banging on the door, various pressure groups calling up.
Right.
Your insurance rates go up through the roof. You can't get a job because the employer says you're a risk.
You get calls from a funeral home. Who knows what?
You know, and this sort of thing has already happened, even with the kind of crummy information handling that we have now that's not very sophisticated in comparison with the sorts of things we're talking about.
Well, like driver's licenses are being sold off to marketeers, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's kind of low-tech in comparison to what we're talking
right.
about. It's the dinosaurs in comparison. And even at that, though, people have had insurance turned down and have lost jobs and all that because information leaked that seemed innocuous, that seemed like it wouldn't cause problems. So I think most of us, you know, no matter how pure and how clean our lives are, there's going to be bits and pieces of information that can be construed in ways that can do a lot of damage. Another problem, of course, is that when you start to depend on this kind of pervasive surveillance and data, any errors can be devastating. If you have an error in the database and they think something about you that's not true, you can be in a cell.
Oh, you're up a creek
for a long time
yeah.
before you get a lawyer. The way things are now.
Wasn't there that fellow in Florida who was erroneously pictured by a camera, and they thought he was a deadbeat dad, and they came down and got him and arrested him, and they found out that he wasn't the person that the computer said he was.
Yeah, well, that you know, this is one of the problems with the face recognition systems, which are another component of this whole kind of surveillance mentality. And one of the basic problems with most of the face recognition systems is that in real-world applications, they just don't work very well.